Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the Gary Zimek Show. Glad to be back with you here on the program. Today we're going to look at the Mass readings for the fifth and final Sunday of Lent. Of course, next week we celebrate Palm Sunday. This, you'll probably agree with me here, this has been a Lent unlike any other Lent that I have ever experienced in my life, but I believe the Lord knows what He's doing. I mean, I know the Lord knows what He's doing, and He's going to bring good out of this. I am already seeing some good come out of this Lent in my own life. I'm recognizing some changes that needed to be made, and that's what Lent's all about, isn't it? Lent is all about looking inside and finding those areas with the help of the Holy Spirit in which we have gone astray, in which we have turned away from the Lord and done our own thing, and decided that we're not going to do it His way, we're going to do it our way, and then correcting, making the corrections necessary, again, with the help of the Holy Spirit. We don't try to force it. We don't try to do it on our own. We ask the Holy Spirit for help. We just cooperate with the grace that the Holy Spirit gives us. That's the way Lent should really be done. That's the way conversion takes place. But it's got to be interior conversion. It's got to be interior and not just an external change in behavior. It's got to start with the way we think. I could force myself to act nicely to other people, but if I'm not changing internally, that's not going to last too long. That's the purpose of Lent, and I'll tell you, we have gotten many opportunities with all of the coronavirus hysteria going on right now. Don't get me wrong, this is a real problem. This is a problem that definitely all of the fear and the concern associated with it, it's warranted. I mean, there's every reason to be concerned, but there's no reason to let our fear overcome our faith. We need to let the fear lead us to greater faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the answer. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He does not change, even though every time we turn on the news, something else is changing. But we need to focus on the Lord, and that's where we're going to find our peace. So on today's program, the first thing we're going to do is look at the Give Up Worry for Lent verse for the fifth Sunday of Lent, and then we'll take a look at the Mass readings as well. So if you'll join me in prayer, we'll begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank You for giving us this new day. Thank You, Father, for giving me the opportunity to share Your good news over the airwaves. Thank You for everyone listening to this program. Father, I ask You to bless them, to protect them and their families, to keep them safe from this coronavirus. We pray, Father, for an end, a quick end to this virus. Help us to learn what it is that You want us to learn from this experience. Help us to trust You more, Father. Help us to recognize how much You love us. Help us to not lose sight of that fact. Father, we pray for a fresh and new outpouring of Your Holy Spirit. Please open our hearts and our minds to hear your words and respond to them. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. I ask you to give me the words. If I'm not supposed to say something, let me know that. I only want to deliver the message that you want me to deliver. And I ask you to help that happen on this program. Father, I ask thee for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks for listening to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. We come to you every week talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. And one thing I want to let you know about, a few days ago, I made the decision to reinstitute my daily radio program, which is called Following the Truth with Gary Zimek. It's going to be syndicated through Blog Talk Radio. It's going to be a podcast. You can get it free of charge, 30 minutes each night. That's going to be in addition to this program. For years, I had a daily program on the air, on Holy Spirit Radio, on Blog Talk Radio for a while. I felt that the time was right to bring it back. So if you're interested, check out my website, followingthetruth.com, for all of the details about how to access the program. But it's going to be called Following the Truth with Gary Zimek. You can get it as a podcast, just like you do this, just like this program is also available in that format. I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. I want to do what I can. And again, you can find out more information, followingthetruth.com is my website. If you would like to donate financially to fund this project, I really could use it, especially since all of my future speaking work, at least for the time being, has been put on hold. Many Catholic speakers are taking a hit. Many people in general are really taking a hit because of this coronavirus crisis. But if you'd like to support my work financially, I would greatly appreciate it. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. You can make a secure donation through PayPal at followingthetruth.com. All right, give up worry for Lent, fifth Sunday of Lent. Man, I think this is such an appropriate verse. A lot of people are telling me they really, they thought, it's amazing how I knew what to write. And it's so appropriate at this time that we're going through this tremendous trial of the coronavirus pandemic. Obviously, I had no idea, but I always would pray to the Holy Spirit for what to write. And the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. I might not. I'm just the instrument. The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. So I am blessed. I am humbled to be used as the instrument to write these things. And when I'm looking at this verse for today, I'm thinking, man, this is unbelievably appropriate. So here it is, the verse for Give Up Worry for Lent from the fifth Sunday of Lent. Proverbs 16:9. A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I think one of the reasons I find this so interesting is that every year I would be in charge of my Lenten sacrifice. I would decide what I'm giving up for Lent. You too? It's common. We make the decision. We might pray about it, but we make the decision. I'll give up sweets. I'll give up Facebook. I'll give up alcohol. I'll give up watching videos or, you know, all kinds of different things. But we're in charge. This year, the Lord, in his ultimate wisdom, intervened. And for many of us, our Lenten sacrifice was chosen for us. Who would have ever thought that the sacraments would be part of the sacrifice, right? It doesn't make sense. But there are good things coming out of it. This is why we have to trust God. Many of us, myself included, realize now that we took Mass and confession for granted. We took the fact for granted that we could walk into the church at any time we chose, as long as the church was open, and pray before the tabernacle. It's not the case right now. So I hope and I pray that my appreciation for the sacraments will grow stronger, and that when this crisis is over, and I do believe it'll be over, I don't know when. I do not believe this is the end of the world. People have asked me that. I do not believe this is the end of the world. I believe it's a huge wake-up call from the Lord, where he's saying, look, guys, I'm the one in control. I need you to take my words seriously. I do believe that's the case here. Because many of us, me, first on the list, have taken things for granted. The ability to go food shopping and get what we want whenever we want it. the ability to come and go as we please, the ability to receive the sacraments. We take these things for granted. I have taken these things for granted. I've learned a lesson. I've also learned that I am not in control. I mean, let's face it, I knew that I wasn't in control, but I don't think I realized how little control I had until this happened. So the Lord can bring good out of this. He would not allow anything to happen in our lives if he couldn't some way bring good out of it. He's bringing good out of this. We still need to pray for an end to this pandemic because people are dying, people are suffering, people are suffering physically, emotionally, financially. This is hurting a lot of people, so we should continue to pray. But I know the Lord can and will bring good out of this, and he already is. But this verse reminds us of the fact that we can make all the plans we want, but ultimately God is in charge. Accepting that is going to bring you a great deal of peace in life, and it's going to allow you to truly be a follower of Christ. You can't follow him if you can't follow him if you're in the lead. When we follow him means he has to lead, we have to follow. Therefore, we can make plans. We can make plans, but we always have to be willing to accept the fact that the Lord might change the plans. Because his plan could be, I know this sounds radical, but his plan just could be better than my plan. I mean, doesn't that sound silly? That his plan could be better than my plan. Of course his plan's better than my plan. He's God, I'm not. But yet, I get angry when things don't go my way. It's a hard lesson to learn, but it's an important one. So let's pray for the grace to be willing to accept whatever it is that he sends our way. That's how we know if we're truly his follower. That's how we know if Jesus Christ is really our Lord. Because when he changes our plans or when things don't go our way, we have a choice. We can complain, we can lash out, or we can accept it. Or better yet, we can embrace it. I mean, that's, again, this takes time. This is not the easiest thing to do sometimes. We can willingly embrace the suffering that he sends us, knowing that when we do that, we are walking with Jesus on the way to Calvary. Because his whole life was one big batch of suffering, if you will. And that's what we need to remember. When we suffer, we're really close to him. Let's look at these mass readings today from, again, the fifth and final Sunday of Lent. Next Sunday will be Palm Sunday, and then Easter will be in 2 weeks. But I know it's going to seem strange. It's a little different this year, but let's continue to be open and trust that there's a bigger picture here. Sometimes we think we know everything. That's what Job thought until the Lord really had to remind him that, Job, you really don't know what you're talking about. Right? I mean, that's really what happened in the book of Job. And to us, the same thing takes place. We really don't know the big picture. We're not God. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Today's gospel, as we do each week on the program, we start with the gospel. The gospel comes from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. This is a bit of a longer gospel, so just settle in. We'll chat about it afterward. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." He said this and then told him, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death. Well, they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So Jesus then said to them clearly, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him. So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go to die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise. Martha said to him, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who was coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, The teacher is here and is asking for you. As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Sir, come and see. So Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, Untie him and let him go. Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen what he had done. And seeing what he had done, began to believe in him. Man, what a story that is. There's so much that we could go into about that story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, but we don't have unlimited time. I'll just say this. One of the things to remember that is Jesus is always on time. Sometimes we think like, well, it's too late for him to get involved and fix my problem. It's never too late. Don't let anybody tell you that because it's not true. There is always time when it comes to Jesus. He purposely, at least in my opinion, delayed so that he could raise Lazarus from the dead. Take note, Lazarus was not healed. Sometimes we pray for one thing and we can get so short-sighted. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for specifics. I think you should pray for specifics because it gives you a chance to really recognize the power of God in your life. That's how your faith grows. But we have to be open when we pray to the fact that the Lord might have something better in mind. People were asking for Lazarus to be healed. Jesus planned to not heal him, but to raise him from the dead, right? That's an even bigger thing. And people saw that and were astonished. Jesus said at the very beginning, this is not to end in death. But technically it did, right? Lazarus died, but Jesus raised him from the dead. Now, if we look at this, the big picture of this, we are reminded that we are all going to be raised from the dead one day. This, the end of our earthly life is not the end of our life. And as we head toward Easter Sunday, we see a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus rising from the dead by him raising Lazarus up from the dead. The only other point I want to make about this, and it's an important one, is the fact that Jesus wept. Did you catch that? That's always one of those striking Bible verses. Sometimes I used to think this was the shortest Bible verse, Jesus wept. Technically, I think I heard it said one time that if you look at the Greek, it's not technically the shortest verse. I forget the one that is. But in English, three words, and Jesus wept. That's pretty short. Why did Jesus weep if he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? I mean, it's not like he surprised himself and he said, well, wait a minute, I didn't think of this. I'm crying, now I can raise him from the dead. He knew what he was doing. I would say that Jesus shares in our sadness. He understands. He has compassion on us. And sometimes in his mercy, he feels sorry for us that we suffer so much, not because of the circumstances in our lives, but because we turn away from him. It's one thing to suffer, but it's another thing entirely, and much worse, to suffer without turning to Jesus for help. He can give us peace in the midst of our suffering. I think a lot of times we create our own agony for ourselves because we fail to turn to him. So I think this is a lesson for all of us. He cares about your problems. He cares what you're going through with the coronavirus right now. Please turn to him. Pray. Ask for help. Ask for relief for you and for everyone in the world right now. It's an important thing to do. Let's look at the first reading now. Ties in nicely with the theme of the resurrection. Ezekiel 37, verses 12 through 14. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and have you rise from them. O my people, I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. We see an example of this, somebody being raised from the dead, in the gospel, when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. But I think all of us need to remember that one day, not only will our souls reside forever in heaven, but our bodies at the second coming of Christ, our earthly bodies will literally rise from the ground, be reunited with our souls, and our glorified body will then live in heaven. That's going to come. That's going to happen when the Lord comes again in glory. As Catholics, that's what we believe. A lot of people don't realize we believe that, but we really do. That's something, the resurrection of the dead. We believe that our bodies will be reunited with our souls at some point when the world comes to an end. We don't know when that's going to be. And that's how we will live. So this theme of resurrection, you see, as we head toward Easter, the focus shifts from inward repentance and inward change and conversion to what's going to happen in 2 weeks, the resurrection of the Lord. We keep our eye on the prize, if you will. Responsorial Psalm, Psalm 130, with the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication. If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revered. I trust in the Lord, my soul trusts in his word. More than sentinels wait for the dawn, let Israel wait for the Lord. For with the Lord is kindness, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all their iniquities. We wait for the Lord. When the time is right, our bodies will rise from the dead, and when the time is right, we see the Lord will begin his public ministry. Jesus did everything in a very orderly fashion, and we need to give him the benefit of the doubt. Otherwise, we'll go crazy with our own situation. Like, when is this coronavirus thing going to come to an end? Well, I don't know. And I think that I don't know can be problematic for a lot of us, especially those of us who like to be in control. But this is what the Lord wants. This is an opportunity for us, for me, for people like me to surrender and say to the Lord, it really doesn't matter. I'm going to pray for it to an end, Lord, but you're in charge. I just want to follow you. You'll let me know when things are going to come to an end. This is a great opportunity for us really to surrender. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 8 through 11. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit dwelling in you. One of the important things to remember as we go through Lent, and really as we go through life, is that if we are really going to follow Jesus and live holy lives, we can't do it on our own. If we do, we're just going to end in failure. We're going to drive ourselves crazy. It's not going to be very successful. We need to depend and really depend on the Holy Spirit. And Jesus absolutely knew that. And that's why he sent us his Spirit. If we channel the Spirit who lives inside of us, who comes to live in us when we're baptized, if we channel the Spirit and really learn to cooperate and just follow the lead of the Spirit, we're going to be a lot more peaceful, and we're going to be able to do the things that we think are impossible to do, like loving our enemies, like following Jesus, like trusting him, like surrendering to him. We could do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. And of course, one of the big fruits of the Holy Spirit, one of my favorites, is peace. So if I am letting the Holy Spirit work in my life, I'm going to have that peace, that supernatural peace that can exist even in the midst of craziness, problems, turmoil, the coronavirus crisis. That peace can exist. So come Holy Spirit is a great prayer to get into the habit of praying many times throughout the day. Give the Holy Spirit permission to work in your life. That's one thing I learned. He does not work uninvited. So he's not going to just drive, just change you around, make you into an outstanding person who is the picture of virtue. You got to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. And then, it actually sounds a lot harder than it is. It's not really that hard. You have to ask for the help, and then you have to yield to the Holy Spirit. So if you're in a situation that you know might give you problems, you're dealing with a difficult person, or you're facing a challenging problem, come Holy Spirit, help me. Before you do the situation, you know, you get into the encounter or whatever, that's going to be a very effective prayer. Pray before you get into something that might give you trouble, such as an encounter with a difficult person, so that the Holy Spirit can work in you. But come Holy Spirit, that's a prayer you should get used to saying often. All right, we are just about out of time. Man, it flew by today. We had a lot to cover. I want to thank you for listening to the program. I want to thank all of my Catholic friends at Catholic radio stations across the country for carrying the Gary Zimek Show. Remember the new nightly program, Following the Truth with Gary Zimek. You can find more out about that at my website, followingthetruth.com. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Understand that I'm here with you. We are walking through this world one day at a time together. As long as I'm around, I plan to be with you here. We can help each other. We can build each other up. We can pray for one another. And we're going to get through this. Be not afraid. There's a reason that God throughout the Old and New Testament so many times said that. Be not afraid. But remember, he would always say, why? Because I am with you. He's with us. He's not going anywhere. So let's turn to him. Remember, followingthetruth.com is the place to go if you'd like to find out about my work or make a donation. I would love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the program. I got to run. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimek telling you, be not afraid. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY. That's LEARN, the number 2, PRAY, to get 20% off your copy today.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.